Hey, Zach. You hear me okay?
Hey Shane, how are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Well, hey, we have a I was able to start a cohort. Usually it's smaller than the size of the group I would normally do, but it'll be to your advantage because sometimes people don't show up. So you may end up getting one-on-one calls periodically here, which is great. There's a total of four people in this group. So, and you'll actually all be going through just as a cohort rather than an evergreen. So you'll all start the same day and end the same day. So there's the context. I read your email, and I'm happy to just jump in and we can get you whatever support you need. So how would you like to start? Do you want me to just go through your questions? Do you want to speak about it first? What would you like to do?
I did go through and I watched some of your previous coaching sessions, maybe back one or two, and I did land on some good advice coming out of one of your previous sessions about disconnecting from some of the outcomes. And I found that meaningful as I'm going through this change in some of my role. What I'm finding is that even with the early wins that I can identify, and I'm going through all the module with that, and taking that to heart as well, the behavior in one organization to the other organization, because these are completely, it's like going from being an engineer or something in A to being an engineer in B with a different industry or something, like totally different mindset, totally different organization. But at the same time, I need to lead both of them. What I'm finding is that the infant mindset and stuff like that is very useful, but at the same time, a lot of the outcomes, even in these early wins, are going to be well championed by the advisory and the people I can get to mentor me and the relationships I build. It might not be in alignment with my overall vision that I'm hired for or anything like that. So I should just kind of roll with it, right? And so that's been useful advice for what it's worth. And what I am kind of bogged down on is what I wrote you about is, some of the relationships and some of the actual transitional pieces. And then, so yeah, I guess, with that as the context, maybe it makes sense if you have some advisement on those questions.
Yeah, be happy to go through that.
Those, I didn't, they weren't really questions. I guess I shared you like some thoughts of where I was at with it.
Sure. Sounds good. Hey, Robin, welcome. Robin is from Hawaii. She heads up IT for a bank, a big bank in the islands. Zach is also, well, maybe not IT. What would you say your technical role is, Zach? Is it IT?
Yeah, I mean, we're an IT company, but I'm a practice director for creating products and
Oh, cool.
Awesome. So Zach had sent an email, and Rob, I'm glad you could join us. And I'm glad we got a new group. I was just telling Zach, I was able to open a group kind of well below the size that I normally would, just because all four of you on the same day, or within like 2 days, all said we can't do Wednesday. And I'm like, oh, perfect. We'll open a new group. So there's two others that may be joining us. I don't know if they will or not, but it's a husband and wife who own like an HVAC company in Texas. And they got all kinds of unique issues. So with that, I'm gonna look here at Zach's email. So your first question, Zach, is and as you're moving from one organization to another within the same company, but you're still kind of overseeing the previous team, and now you've added something which is really complex. And you're saying that the director in the new department burns a lot of your time, is combative, confrontational, and as you say here, makes me feel like it is because I'm not doing my role, which has not started yet. Two, it's unclear the VP I'm taking over for was supportive of this decision. And when you say of this decision, do you mean the VP maybe wasn't supportive of, or it's unclear whether he was or she was supportive of you taking over this role?
Yeah, so it's an interesting scenario where, from the services side, where I was originally coming into the development side and ownership of the product side, which is more of the holy grail in this type of company, this person wasn't aware that our chief made this decision on my behalf, right? And I actually turned down the position several times. And then they said, you're being voluntold to come do this. And it's starting on this date. And it kind of propagated through the ranks. Hey, this is this person going to come do this. And eventually this person, you know, found out about it. This VP found out about it. And then I saw some emails going around back channel saying, hey, is this true? Is Zach going to be doing this work? I feel like it was poorly executed and it put this VP in a bad spot, you know, at no fault of his own. But at the same time, it also put me in a bad spot to be successful in this position for a transition period. Cause I wasn't going to go to them and obviously announce, hey, I'm here to take over what is, you know, truly 90 or, you know, 50% or more of what your job role is and title is. And I have no idea what you're doing or what the direction is for your future. I hope you've worked that out with your leader, right? It's kind of an awkward thing. And then their direct reports are you know, coming to me in the interim asking me for things, which are obviously, you know, the transition hasn't even started yet. It creates a hard time for that shadow period. And additionally, some of them are just tough individuals in the first place, where they're focused on low value stuff that's just really burning my time while I'm trying to run both organizations.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so using the aphorism, a problem only exists in the absence of the right conversation. We've got to figure out where the missing conversations are. And in module 4 of my training, there's a section on roles that focuses on authority, accountability, and responsibility. And so you might just review that. Some of it will be fairly obvious, but the strangest thing happens in organizations. Sometimes the most obvious things go missing. And one of the conversations you'll need to start to have with key stakeholders is a conversation about authority, accountability, and responsibility. They have to match, right? And so right now, to me, if I'm in your shoes, it's really unclear that those things match, not only in your mind, but in the minds of the critical stakeholders. So whether it's a peer or a new supervisor or your subordinates, you've got to start having a series of conversations that get expectations clear about what authority you have and what you're accountable for. And if those two things don't match, you've got to start having direct conversations about how to get them to match. And you do that using that kind of managing up module and some of the.
That makes sense, Shane.
Is he frozen for you too?
He is.
Okay.
Okay.
I was like, he was on a roll and then it just.
Yeah. And that's actually what I'm working on right now while he's catching up is I'm actually having a meeting next week on the authority, accountability, and responsibility to map that out and actually taking a look at how we can do different delegation in the interim. I was taking more of a racy approach to it, but I feel like that's just like a manager thing to do, which is inappropriate. The transition was to be an expansion of my authority, which was the way that it was finally presented to me at the end. A big miss for me is that through this transition is an expansion of my authority and my accountability, but there's no one underneath me in a lot of this case to be responsible. I was actually asked to transition my direct reports to somebody else based off of some of the organizational structure, just politics, right? You can't have certain people in one organization report to you. And so I'm losing some of the responsible people or people to delegate responsibilities to in this case. And so I think I need to figure out that conversation or parts of that conversation through some of these upcoming meetings.
Yeah. And it's, so you said you're kind of like, you've gained authority, you have, you're accountable for it, but then you're losing some of the people that would help you be responsible for getting it done. Yeah.
Sorry guys, I'm back. Where'd you lose me?
Somewhere like this.
Yeah.
No, I was just following up to say I absolutely agree with what you're saying. I'll go check out those tools and techniques, Shane. I do have some upcoming meetings on driving out authority and accountability. This was sold to me as an expansion of my authority and accountability, you know, because I'm not giving up my current organization. And there's a lot of synergy in driving out what my objectives are by owning both. The challenge is I was giving up a lot of my direct reports in this transition. So I'm losing the ability to delegate out any of my responsibilities. And that's sold as an influencer model. And I'm okay with that. I always look at it as, look, my dog listens to me, but I don't feed my dog. My wife feeds my dog. I play with my dog. And every time I pick up the ball, the dog always comes to me and listens to me. And I'm okay with driving out the influencer model. But at the same time, in a large organization, there's a lot of people competing for these resources, times. If they truly are investing in these initiatives, that responsibility part needs to be a discussion that we have. And
absolutely. And really, it's just authority and accountability. Those are the two main things. What you're accountable for, you must have the authority that is requisite, that matches what you're being held accountable for. And all you're trying to do is have a series of conversations marked by lots of misunderstandings, which is normal, where you're getting increasingly clear on what am I accountable for, and have I been given proper authority for that accountability? And when you have a conversation about authority, this isn't ego-driven, this isn't even politics, it's purely functionality. And that's what you're trying to drive people to. So you're just saying, it appears I'm being held accountable for this. Is that accurate? Yes, you are. Great. In order for me to be held accountable to that, I need control over the following levers. Is that something that we can formally agree to in writing, that I have, that this is now my authority set? And if they go, no, we can't give you authority over that, you go, great. So let's have a conversation about what I should reasonably be accountable for. And the reason this is important to me is not about my success, but rather the confusion it creates in the organization. So the more you depersonalize everything that's going on and you just treat it kind of as a diagnostic conversation, almost like a consultant who isn't even in the role, the more credible you are experienced as. And the more they'll be like, oh, that guy is easy to talk to and he doesn't seem to, you know, have a horse in the race, and he seems really helpful at helping us understand some, you know, stage gate, like let's go through this stage and then we'll open a new gate, but we're not going to talk about that gate until we get this stage clear and all that stuff. So the big modules are, I think it's video 3, I could be wrong, but it's module 4. It'll be really clear in there. One of the videos is module 4. There may be more than one, but it's probably one or two. The bonus, managing up and across, make sure you watch that. And then keep doing your work around the first 90-day module. And I'm happy to double-click on this. We can come back around in a minute. I'll move over to Robin in just a second. But so those things are really helpful. Now, all of this needs to be under the guise of understanding that you are now in one of the highest forms of pain management in a system. And so anytime a boss or a reporting line is changed, especially when it's not voluntary, and now here I'm referring to your peers and the subordinates, people who, you know, didn't ask for you, didn't interview you, didn't hire you, their world is now completely changed without any permission being asked. And because 70% of somebody's experience of an organization is governed by their direct supervisor, they were all immediately overnight fired from one job and hired in a new job in a new company they didn't apply for. That is incredibly stressful. And the biggest stress is that they will go from playing one sport with certain benchmarks and goalposts to playing a completely different sport with different benchmarks and goalposts, because you're a different leader. And you don't even know what game they were playing to be able to translate. You're like, yeah, we don't do golf, we're doing football. And they're like, what? We have a small white ball and a club. And you're like, no, that's an oblong thing. And you kick it through that. Kick it through what? There's a hole. And you're like, what are you guys talking? I don't know what you're, so that's normal. So that's what's going on right now. And as long as you know that, and you realize that's what's happening, what it'll force you to do is slow things down and go, where's the missing conversation? What conversation do I need to have? And how many times do I need to have it so that we're really clear on exactly what part of the elephant we're all trying to touch? And so all of that is found under the guise of expectations alignment in that first 90 days. So everything I'm talking about, roles and responsibilities, everything I'm talking about managing up and across, And all of that falls under expectations alignment. And for some time now, for weeks, maybe months, you're going to be constantly driving at, let's get clear on what is expected of me and what's expected of you. And if you have a peer relationship, there is, I believe it's at the end of module four, there's something called the pencil process, which is just how do you form agreements? When you have, you know, no one has power over the other, but you expect something of them and they expect something of you, how do you have that conversation? You don't have to be that formal. That's a really formal process, usually for partners who own businesses together. But in an informal way, use the principles of it if you get there. So again, you don't have to do all of that right now. I'm just flagging for you some of the key things that I think you should anticipate.
I appreciate that, Shane. you hit the nail on the head on a few of those things, especially the highest form of pain management comment that you made, specifically the organization that I'm going through. I kind of had like a wham, bam, thank you, man moment where it was end of year promotion cycle stuff. And it was like, everything's outstanding. Either way, we're going to move you out of this organization, expand your authority, and you're going to report to this new chief. This new chief is over capacity. We're going to have you report to the senior VP. This new senior VP is out over capacity. We're going to have you report to this other senior VP. Within 24 hours, I was shuffled three times, and there's X number of people that had their hands on my career. And it did make me feel like very undervalued for a high valued situation. And then afterwards,
it was a promotion in quotes.
and the funny thing was, it was actually, it was a situation. It wasn't where anybody was fired or anything like that. It was to remedy what is our number one corporate goal. And it truly was a capacity situation that no one understood in the organization. And so they're bringing somebody in. So there is a lot of defensiveness around it and how it's being brought up.
Yeah. Makes sense. The pain management, just to be clear, isn't just pain for everybody else. It's also pain for you. You know, there's a lot of pain that you went through that was put upon you that you didn't ask for, apply for. And it sounds like they did what, you know, honestly, I work with a lot of software and tech companies. And the reason I do is because they're super smart in all the ways I'm not. And I happen to be pretty smart in all the ways they're not. And it's not uncommon for tech people to have no awareness of how to deal with human realities. And you just painted exactly the reason that tech companies hire me, because they're like, we don't know what happened. We moved this bit and byte and this lever and people were upset. Why are they upset? It's like, because they're not widgets. They're humans and they're not code. So anyway, just know that what you're going through is also normal, and it's good for you to kind of respect the hardship that you're enduring as well, because you weren't handled very well in this. Good. Okay. I'm going to pause there. We can come back to you in a few minutes, and we'll just kind of go back and forth until we feel we've had enough. Robin, how are you doing? And I think I've got an hour set aside, so we got another 40 minutes here.
Yeah. I'm doing good. I it's interesting because some of what you're talking about is a similar challenge that I'm kind of in the midst of. Not similar in the exact context, but the problem is really a tough conversation, not a tough conversation, just a conversation that needs to happen. So I guess I'll give you some context, because there are a couple other nuances that I would love some perspective on. So one of the roles that I have, so I have kind of three roles. And so one of those roles is to act as a strategic partner with some of the different lines of business, to be able to help them tackle through their, what elements of their business strategy have like a technology impact, and how they should be thinking about that, and just essentially get better context so that we can also deliver better solutions. So in this partnership role, about a month ago, I was, I kind of volunteered in the spirit of partnership to help where there was a resource deficiency. We're down a couple program managers from our project office. So I kind of volunteered to say, hey, you know, in the while we're hiring somebody, because we had somebody slated to come in and they were going to be there in 2 weeks, I'll kind of, me and this other person will take on that responsibility while that person gets hired. So there was an agreement that that would happen, and the train was almost on the tracks already. A lot of things were already in motion, and we were just making sure that tactically things were getting done. And this is in a business strategy effort. So we're thinking about launching a small business division to focus on driving revenue from that particular customer segment. That's the objective. And so there's executives from the commercial team, there's executives from the marketing team, and then there's an executive from ops. So the four of us are kind of partnering, and I said, hey, you know, in addition to being a partner, I'll step up and help and be this program manager while the new one's being hired. So let's fast forward. The new one didn't end up starting. And I'm still in that program manager and strategy partner. So now I'm muddied the waters, and the situation changed. We don't have a program manager in sight, and I cannot be the program manager for this particular effort. So that's the first challenge in the scenario, is I need to remove myself from that particular role. The second challenge is, so there's no resource there, but beyond that, in the executive team space that's a part of this, so operations, marketing, and business, we have the highest, like the most senior individuals that are a part of this collaboration group, but they don't have counterparts that are actually going to end up being accountable for delivering the work involved in the strategy process. So essentially what I'm saying is I've identified another gap in this situation. So there's kind of the two things, is there's a need to do something with this program management role because I can't do it I shouldn't do it. And then I think that there's a gap in who is on the team to ultimately deliver a strategy that's worth having. So I need to have a conversation with all of them. I don't know. I'm thinking separately and then together, because I don't want to put them all on blast, because I think what they think is they don't think there's anything missing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to essentially tell my partners, who I need to continue to partner with and still be involved in this, that you guys, like, we need to pony up the right people so that we can actually make an effective strategy. So that's my scenario. And I'm going to have, so I guess I'll stop and see what you might be thinking.
Okay. A couple of questions. Do you sense there'll be resistance by anybody? Do you already have a sense that they would be quite resistant to what you're pointing out? Or do you think they're just unaware, and when they're made aware, they're not that difficult?
I don't think there's going to be resistance. I think there's going to be the sentiment of, I hate to say this, like reality and tactical issues. So what I mean by that is I've already kind of did some thinking about whom they could essentially have fill that role and who they could bring in their organizations to be a part of the mix, so that, you know, I'm not just calling out issues, I'm potentially having solves or things to consider. The challenges, there is just not resources. Is the fact. And so if that's the case, then where there might end up being pushback is they'll start to feel like, well, we don't have the resources, but we need to have a strategy in place by December. and we need to start executing on it in January, we can go higher, but we don't have the people right now. And so that means that they have to have a level set conversation with our CEO to set some expectations around what's going to be missing or what might change. Or yeah, so I don't necessarily think that they will disagree. I think they will agree, but kind of be like, well, but we still got to do this. So now what?
Great. Okay. And are you viewed as a peer in this group, or are you viewed as more junior, or are you viewed as more senior?
With them, I would be like a level below.
Okay. So you're being treated as a peer, but technically you're a level below. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I just lost you. You cut out.
You're there. Yeah.
So I didn't hear what you said. I said you're maybe interacting as a peer, but they know you're a level below. Is that right? So this is really a managing up conversation.
This is a managing up conversation. Great.
Okay. So a few things I would say. One is, I think you've already got a lot of the things in place, which is excellent. And that is, you know who to have the conversation with, you know what the conversation is that needs to happen, and you're smart in that you're bringing suggested solutions. The other thing that I'm going to recommend you bring is a timeline that says, this is an unsustainable position that I'm in. You guys all know I selected this at a time we assumed this. That has since changed. I'm able to continue this for X amount of time, at which point I'll resign that. So that they understand there's a limit. And none of them are your direct boss, is that right? They're more like above you in other organization or other departments.
My boss is their peer. Yeah.
Great. And your boss is aligned with you, correct?
Yeah. She's like, we need to not be doing this.
So. Good. So you just let them know, you know, my boss has informed me that this is how this is going to go. And this is my suggestion for how to resolve it. And then I think the main thing that is probably worth you doing, even though this isn't exactly it, it's a lot of the same principles. Review the same bonus that I just suggested Zach review, which is the how to manage up and across. And so that will help you frame how you pitch the conversation. And at the heart of that, I can give you some of the high points of that, just so that
that it would be helpful, just because my conversation's like in 4 hours for one of them, and I don't think I'll have a chance to be able to.
Yeah, I'll walk you through a few things.
Thank you.
So I think what you want to do is, what my recommendation, anytime somebody is leading or managing up, is that you become divested of the emotional experience of any decision that gets made.
Okay.
And so you are there simply to advise on choices and consequences. And you are merely making observations about the limits of time and space, you know? And so it's a depersonalized conversation. And what you're saying is, okay, that's fair. We could do X. In order to do X, we require Y. Okay, it sounds like we can't do Y, so instead we're going to do Z. And in order to do Z, we require C. And you're just going through options with consequences with each option. And you might have a recommendation, but even your recommendation you hold lightly. So you'd say, hey, based on what I'm seeing, here are the options, the choices, the trade-offs. Here's what I recommend we do. Here's why I recommend that. But we can easily do any of these other options. And so it's okay to develop options that you think are not great, and try to do it as a genuine option. Like, here's another option. So like, you believe, I assume, that the best option is for them to go to tell the CEO, we got to level set expectations. That's the real kind of answer at the end of the day. It is worth you also anticipating alternative answers, because maybe none of them want to go talk to the CEO.
I'm already anticipating that's off the table.
Great. So now you have to come up with the next option and the consequences to that option. And you've got to be able to say which options are not options. And so if you can develop 3 options, even if they're garbage options, even if you know it's the worst idea, when you say it from a place that is, here's an option and it's a valid path and it comes with a cost. And here's the cost, whether it's in time or money or quality, right? And those are really it. Fast, cheap, or good. Pick 2. You never get all 3. And that's what you're effectively trying to do, is you're helping them navigate a conversation in which everybody always wants fast, cheap, and good. They want all three, and they want it that way. And in reality, you can only have two of those three. You've heard this before. Do you know what I'm saying when I say fast, cheap, or good? Like, is that a...
Yeah, no, I like that. I was just trying to think about it in the context of what it means to the people that I'm talking to. Because when, I'm following.
So what I'm just trying to do when I say fast, cheap, or good, and of course it means different things in different contexts, but what you're trying to do is help you develop optionality. So you go, look, you want to do it fast. If we choose this and you need the quality to be there, it's going to mean we're going to need to get a lot more resourcing in here. And then we can achieve these two things. So whatever we need to do to get resourcing. Alternatively, if we don't think we can get resourcing, then we have to choose. We're either going to take a longer time than we wanted to, or we're going to do it at a level that isn't at the standard we had hoped for. Which of those is more preferable for us as a team? And in my mind, here's what I think we could reasonably achieve. And here over here is another thing we could reasonably achieve. And so all you're doing is you're helping them navigate through the options, and you are a consultant to and a facilitator of decision making. That's your role. Does that make sense?
Yeah, just brainstorming some options.
Jane, you do a lot of value consulting. You know, just as an example, if they choose fast with quality, then scope's the other option. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Just throwing that out there for you, Robin. There's a lot of different ways to look at that.
Yeah.
So and scope would be part of good. Yeah. Scope is part of, like, as you're deciding to punch in or punch out, that's part of, like, the quality of the thing is connected to that. So that's a great, great addition.
That's kind of where my head is at, is really, like, if we're not going to bring the right people to the table to really own this, because respectfully, in the time horizon that the strategy is in, there's actually nothing. It's a 1 year. It's annoying to me, but they just made the change last week that it's a 1 year strategy. I'm like, okay, well then we don't really need to do all of this other work. If it's a 1 year strategy, there's nothing that we're going to implement from a technology perspective that's going to make you hit your number by the end of next fiscal. So it's actually like a scope thing for me, but I think that's going to be okay with most people. Just one person who is marketing is not going to be okay with that. But it's not my job to make them okay with it. It's a job to lay out the choices, I suppose. And that's where I need to.
I think you're wise if you can pre-socialize it. If you have the time, it's helpful to go to each of them individually.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world if you can't get to all of them.
Yeah. I think I could come up with three options. I think that helps me. And I don't know why, like you said, the simple stuff you kind of get away from when the situation's complicated, the fast, cheaper, good, I can come up with versions of that that'll simplify things. So I think that'll help us figure out what to do and what's needed there with the role of the program manager. There's kind of a slightly different, I would say, like, our opinion has changed, meaning me and my leader boss don't think that a program manager in the IT organization should be facilitating or driving any business strategy creation. Like, that's not actually something that should be in our house. Like, that's actually something that there's a role in the business organization that's ultimately going to be responsible for it, that should be there. And that's not something where we think there's an option, right? Like that's a boundary we want to create. So do we handle that part the same? Or is
no, what you just described is a limit laid down by your supervisor. You are merely reporting gravity. Like, this is the nature of gravity. If they have an issue with it, you just say, yeah, those are valid questions, or that's an understandable thing. My suggestion is talk to my boss and you guys can hash that out. And they'll understand that. So I think if your boss is giving you a decree that says that doesn't work no more, then you just have to go to them and say, I've been given instructions. This is the limitation. So that's not something you need to discuss with them. You're just informing them. And then if they take issue with it, you just say, okay, no problem. Yeah. Or, you know, just have a conversation with so-and-so and see if you guys can get aligned on how you'd like to use my time. I'm happy to be there. You know, but the more that you present yourself as like truly comfortable doing anything that is asked of you, even if you're not at all, the more your credibility goes up. So, and this is the thing that happens with people who are managing up. They will often know the right answer. They'll feel passionate about it and they'll think you're making a bad choice. You shouldn't make that bad choice. And I'm going to go advocate and try to convince you not to make a bad choice. That is the kiss of death when you're trying to.
And it's all I want to do in this particular circumstance. Well, with the role part, but no, that's not. You're right. It's not my battle.
But yeah, with that one in particular, that's an easy one. That's literally just, I'm doing as I'm told and I'm happy to do otherwise. Once you guys get aligned on how you'd like me to behave, I'll behave accordingly. And then you can have an offline with your boss directly and go, that's not tenable for me and here's why. But if that's the role. So what I'm always telling people to do is to separate themselves from the role they're negotiating. So that you know that anytime you could leave the organization, because it's not about you anymore. It's about a role that's being created with certain accountabilities and authorities and whatever. And all you're trying to do is go, hey, let me triangulate, help you get clear on this role. Let me make recommendations on what I think is in the best interest of that role. And they might go, no, we think that role should be over here. And you might be privately going, then I'm not in that role. I don't want to be a part of that in the worst case scenario, right? In which case you have that conversation later. You go to like, yep, we got it. Okay, we got the role. Good. Okay, great. I resign. and what it does is it frees you to have conversations that are no longer personal. And that boosts your credibility. People start listening for, wow, that's a person who really engaged a conversation and completely set their ego aside and their own fears and their own anxieties and just had like a really constructive conversation. And at the end, they indicated, okay, so that's the role. I just want you to know that's not a long-term role for me. Very often they're like, oh, whoa, wait. Okay, no, hold on. We want you still. So what do we need to do to get you in that role? And you've boosted your credibility by being agnostic, by being just a really good advisor who has no opinion on whether you personally are affected.
Okay, yeah, that helps me. Things got emotionally heated yesterday, so this is a good, like...
Yes. Your task is to feel completely at ease with any decision. You literally are like, all I'm doing is I'm a dispassionate observer of a conversation and trying to lead us to the best decision-making we can. And the reason that's so critical when you're managing up or across is... you might see things very clearly from your vantage point, and you are right, and you see things they can't see. It is also true they see things you can't see, and they're making trade-offs that you don't know anything about. And so it might be crystal clear to you, but if you were in their role, it might be not clear at all. And the reason is because they're looking at it going, oh my gosh, what you're worried about is like a tiny little part of a much bigger equation. And we know what that bigger equation is, and we're willing to sacrifice that little thing you're worried about. That's okay with us. And you want to go in with that expectation that says, hey, I have some information. If I were in your shoes, I'd want to know it. I'm aware you guys are dealing with bigger trade-offs than I'm aware of, but here's a piece of information that might be helpful in the calculus. As you guys are navigating and negotiating trade-offs, here's a piece of information that might be helpful for you. That's the posture. And they will hear that and go, that's a team player. That's someone who's really helping us. In fact, I want to be more in touch with that person and get more advisement from them, because they're giving me good data, but they're not judging me and telling me I'm doing it wrong. They're not naive. They're not thinking they know everything, which is classic, by the way, in management hierarchy. The higher people go in management, the more they're like, oh man, I wish I would have known. Right. This is what people were dealing with. Like when I was lower down, I was always like, what the heck are they thinking? They're a bunch of idiots. Why are they doing that? And then they get in that role. They're like, oh, they're not idiots. They're just dealing with trade-offs that I knew nothing about.
Right.
So the more you can kind of come with that humility is also really helpful. Even if you're totally right and they are idiots, you posture it as, you guys are making trade-offs that I probably don't have line of sight on, and I respect that. And this is just a data point to help me make some of those choices and trade-offs a little more clearly and cleanly. From where I sit, my vantage point, it seems like this might be the better option, and I'd recommend that option, but I'm really comfortable doing any of the options here. You come with that posture and they suddenly are like, well, we want to make this work for her too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Zach, more you want to dig in on? Any other things you want to talk about?
Is he on mute for you?
He might be. No, he's not on mute.
Sorry, I had my microphone muted.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now okay?
Yep.
Thank you first for the conversation with Robin. Very valuable conversation, especially the negotiation tactics. I think those are useful. Two very tactical items. One is I'm constantly doubting, and I don't like this feeling when it happens, my current leader's motives as I transition out of his organization. Because he wasn't, the best way to put this is I was his golden boy.
Okay. You know,
him losing me is like losing a son. Right? So okay. Now that I'm going out, I know he's doing his best to help me, but I passed the boundary now where he knows I'm gone. And he's also got a lot of additional expansion from trading me. He got four people for trading me out, and all of the resources that came with them. So that came with an additional 40 resources in total for one person.
Wow.
So, you know, he got a pretty good trade for it, and he got to retain all of my direct reports besides those 40 people. So now kind of when I'm hearing things from him, I'm still, you know, retained into his leadership team and a few other things, but I'm starting to question some of his motives. And I don't like that feeling, right? So I'm looking at different tactics in my spare time of like, how do I cut through it? Because he's super sharp, super brilliant, very manipulative, and very, just overall very convincing of checking his motives on things. And he still wants me to maintain so many parts of my previous role. Sometimes I'm wondering, is it in his benefit? Is it in the organization's benefit? There is a lot of synergy in driving out my objective. So it's easy for me to agree to it, but is it really just, you know, in his benefit? Do you have anything on that where you're thinking that ways to
I'm certain it's to his benefit. Yes, that's an easy one to answer. I'm not even sure that's a hidden motive. Okay. That doesn't make him bad or wrong or malice. It just makes him effective in getting what he needs, the resources he needs to do the work he wants to do. The question is it bad for you? So yes, it's in his interest. Otherwise, he wouldn't be advocating for it and setting it up that way. He's not here for altruism. This is not a charity he's running. The question is it harmful to you? And that's something we can ferret out a little bit. And if it is harmful to you, then it's a negotiation conversation again. It's a managing up conversation, similar to the ones we're talking about now, which is, hey, let's talk about this agnostically. Let's remove, you know, Zach personally from the equation. Not that you have to say these words, but emotionally you walk in and go, if Zach wasn't a part of this and I didn't have to deal with any of this, what do I think is the wisest thing to do in terms of organization, effectiveness, accountability, and authority, and bandwidth? You know, I think those are the three things that I'd be looking at. Maybe four, right? Outcomes, So is the synergy truly bringing about better outcomes? That's important. Are authority and accountability matching? Great, check. Is there enough bandwidth for me to do this? Absolutely not. No way, not in your life. Guess what? You have a resource constraint issue. You haven't matched the position well. Or you go bandwidth, no problem. I can do both. Authority and accountability, completely a bust. None of it's working. Good. Total mess. Nobody knows who's responsible for this. I can't get things done. I have no ability to wield any influence, even influence from the side. I'm being blocked. And then the last one is outcomes. You know, okay, maybe the outcomes really aren't that much better. So what are we gaining by doing this?
Yeah, I can evaluate those accesses, and I have been. And I do think it is, personally, I do think it is mutual. I'm wondering how much the new organization feels it's mutual because they're going through a change and how they wait and how they view words like adoption, and that impacts the way that they view services and other organizations. And so I feel it's mutual. I feel it's more path paving, but at the same time, they don't necessarily see that value yet. It's a struggle for me. It's a polarity, so to speak, but I have to figure out if I'm going to, you know, how I'm going to balance that. I appreciate that. That's good. I haven't been thinking as much about me in that scenario as much as I've been just thinking about a way to cut through if there's a way to check the tactic or a tactic to cut it through and check the motive.
You know, we can do those. It's not relevant. Like I said, let's say we find out, oh my gosh, he's really doing something that's in his interest. I'd be like, yeah, welcome to corporate America. That isn't ultimately going to help you. Whether it hurts you is far more important. And that one you can answer with certainty.
And then the other one was, again, this is just because and I'm looking for tactical tools in this case. With that resource that's real, because it's a senior director that's burning a ton of my time, saying kindly, you're right, but it doesn't matter. You're focused on non-value adding details. You're highlighting them, but I expect you to manage them.
Is this person someone who reports to you or a peer or someone above you?
I feed their teams all of their work. So like in our organization, I feed, you know, 20, 30 different teams, all of their work. And those teams all have, you know, 20, 30 people on them, whatever, right? So there's, you know, thousands of people that are potentially below me at different times.
Right.
On the delivery side, there's thousands of people. And I also have to make sure they're assigned out on projects separate. So product development and delivery services.
Right.
And I'm in an interesting situation where I'm coming out of delivery services, retaining all of that, and then going into product development and also building the product and overseeing both and saying, as we deliver this thing, we also have to be accountable for how it's adopted by our customers, kind of changing the mindset of just let's not build a product, but make sure it's adopted and used. So that's kind of our big push and our big change. And our other, you know, this organization doesn't recognize that, whereas I'll be the first one kind of paving that path. And I'm doing it with a specific focus and area that's not really not interesting for this call.
Okay. So do you want to double click on this person who's burning up your time, or do you feel?
I have a one-on-one with them right in 9 minutes. And they already asked to burn up another 2 hours, and they burned up like 7 hours of my week with Slack chats. And so maybe, yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
I think there's some quick phrases.
So the first thing.
Sky is falling type, right?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would let that person understand is, especially if you have if you're viewed as having more authority and power, then you can speak with a little more directness. Would that be fair to say this person looks to you as having a little more authority and power, even if it's not a formal reporting? Okay. So I think what you want to do is you want to say, hey, I think you just get really direct with them and say, we've got to find a far more efficient way for the two of us to work together. Because at this point, if I want you to be aware of something, that if I were in your shoes, I'd want to understand this. I'm finding that I am spending far a disproportionate amount of time with you, and that raises concerns for me. And so that just puts the person on notice. Now, again, I don't know the exact details of the relationship or what the political consequences would be for that, but you're wanting to put them on notice that just says, this is the effect that you're having on me and the experience I'm having. And the first conversation I'd like to have with you isn't about our content, but about how you and I are going to keep working together in ways that work for both of us. Because right now, the way we're working together seems to work for you. I don't think it's working for me. And I'd like for it to work for both of us. Or you could say, I'm not sure if it's working for you. I know it's not working for me. So you don't presume to know whether, you know, they might be hating working with you and it's troubling them greatly.
Right. I work for politically sensitive company, right? So the
So you might just say, I don't know what it's like for you. What I do know is it's not working for me. My interest in this conversation is to figure out how it can work for both of us. I have a few ideas. And what you're going to say is, my ideas come in the form of requests. Here are my requests. I'd like you to, and then you make your requests. I don't know what they are, but you know, it'd be like, I'd like for you to prioritize the top three things you want to focus on. We're not going to be able to talk about everything that concerns you. So I need the top three things. Bring those to me each time or whatever it is, right? But you're managing prioritization. You're managing sequencing. You're managing and you're guiding them on how to bring information to you. You might say, I'm going to give you a matrix. Before each meeting, I want you to fill in these three blocks, four blocks. Tell me what this is or whatever, right? There's a million ways you can manage it. Yeah. There's lots of different tools.
Reports. I haven't done it with her. This makes sense to me.
Yeah. So just doing that with her and level setting and helping her understand it's not working for you and you'd like to find a better way. And again, that phrase, my interest in the conversation is to find something that really works well for both of us. That helps set up a positive interaction.
That's what's important to me. I was looking for some key language. I spent a lot of time in consulting, coaching, and looking for key phrases, things like that when working with my clients. So that's very important to me.
There's a little cheat sheet on, I believe it's the Hard Conversations module. I think it may be at the very end. Oh, I think it's the second to last video on module 3 called Switches. And it's the 10 most common phrases leaders use and what to use instead.
Perfect.
Module. So that's like a little cheat sheet. And again, some of those you won't need, but some you can memorize and internalize and be like, oh, that's a better way to say what I want to say.
That's exactly what I'm looking for, Shane. Thank you.
So yeah, just look for switches. And I'm pretty sure it's at the end of module 3. If not, search module 2. The other thing to explore for you as it relates to managing all these different people is the ARISE model, which is in module 3, and particularly focus on the A, which is how you make people aware of what you expect, what winning looks like, what priorities is, what sequencing is, all that stuff. So that's another resource for you if you want to keep digging deeper. Robin, we've got a few minutes left. Anything else you wanna surface, talk through?
I think it might be in the A module that you were talking about, but it's just kind of the influencer model of leading. I have a function that I'm responsible for that has some members that directly report to me and some that don't. And more recently, I've noticed that those individuals who aren't reporting to me have kind of been flaky in coming through with their contributions. And I think some of it has validity, meaning that there are other things that are higher priority for them that they are required to do first and foremost. Then the guy who keeps flaking is in charge of SecOps. So it's just like a bunch of whenever there's like 0-day vulnerabilities that enter the environment, they he has to go do that, you know? And
yeah, right.
I think while all I was thinking about during today's conversation, it wasn't directly related, but I was just thinking like, God, we need him, but I actually need some, I think I just need a different person. I don't think he's the right person to really be a part of the team because he can't show up in the way we're learning. He can't show up in the way that we might need him to. He could still be brought along as a member of our community, but I don't think he can be a key contributor is kind of what I took away. So I might not necessarily need much more there other than that this listening to this conversation just made me think, you know, I was going to ask him to step up and, you know, go over what the expectations were, but as I'm learning, I'm like, I think it's more like it's not really working. Here's why it's not working. Here's what the team really needs to be successful. So what are some options that he also feels comfortable with? So I'm not sure. Is my thinking right on that? Or are there any like...
Yeah, I think it's really smart, and especially if it's not personal. It's functional.
No, it is. Functional. And it's going to affect the team if somebody can...
Yeah, then I think a really... direct conversation that says, hey, I want to talk to you about this. This is purely functional. It has nothing to do with you. It's just your function. You know, I respect the nature of your function and the priorities that you have. And what I'm realizing is I think that I may have just selected the wrong functionality for this because it's not fair to you and it's not fair to the team. So here's my suggestion. How does that sound to you?
Yeah.
And you don't have to spend a lot of time on it. That's a really efficient conversation.
I was thinking about how to make it work, and I don't think that's it. I think it's a way of, it's a different person.
Yeah.
What would you still want your involvement to be given that there are things that you can't do?
Yeah, perfect. I think that's good.
Roles and expectations, people.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to point you in a different direction, but I think that's a termination conversation, not an agreement negotiation. That's a different process. You're not trying to negotiate an agreement. You're trying to get to the end of something.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's been a couple weeks. That's all the evidence I need to know.
Perfect. Yeah. You know, make the call.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you both for showing up. I'm glad we got it worked out. I'm sorry the others couldn't join us, but maybe they will next week. And I'll look forward to continuing our dialogues.
Thanks.
You bet. And fortunately, I've decided to cap this group. I'm not going to add any more. So you guys are going to get a lot of extra attention should you need it or want it. And I'm happy for you.
Awesome.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Shane. Awesome to meet you, Robin.
Nice to meet you too, Zach. Look forward to seeing you again.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, guys.